Preface. In the years before she died, my mother, Lisa Marie Presley, began writing her memoir. Though she tried various approaches and sat for many book interviews, she couldn't figure out how to write about herself. She didn't find herself interesting, even though, of course, she was. She didn't like talking about herself. She was insecure. She wasn't sure what her value to the public was other than being Elvis's daughter. She was so racked with self-criticism that working on the book became incredibly difficult for her. I don't think she fundamentally understood how or why her story should be told. And yet she felt a burning desire to tell it. After she'd grown exceedingly frustrated, she said to me, "Pookie, I don't know how to write my book anymore. Can you write it with me?" "Of course I can," I said. The last 10 years of her life had been so brutally hard that she was only able to look back on everything through that lens. She felt I could have a more holistic view of her life than she could, so I agreed to help her with it, not thinking much of the commitment, assuming we would write it together over time. A month later, she died. Days and weeks and months of grief drifted by. Then I got the tapes of the memoir interviews she'd done. I was in my house, sitting on the couch. My daughter was sleeping. I was so afraid to hear my mother's voice. The physical connection we have to the voices of our loved ones is profound. I decided to lie in my bed because I know how heavy grief makes my body feel. I began listening to her speak. It was incredibly painful, but I couldn't stop. It was like she was in the room talking to me. I instantly felt like a child again, and I burst into tears. My mommy. The tone of her voice. I was 8 years old again, riding in our car. Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl came on the radio, and my dad pulled over and made us all get out to dance on the side of the road. I thought of my mom's beautiful smile, her laugh. I thought of my dad trying to resuscitate her lifeless body when he found her. Then I was back in my car seat, watching my mom's face in the rearview mirror as she sang along to Aretha Franklin. Our car barreling down the Pacific Coast Highway with the windows open. Then I was in the hospital right after my new baby brother was born, bombarded by memories like a corny flashback montage in a movie, but real. I wanted her back. The early parts of the book are mostly her voice. In the tapes, she speaks at length about her Graceland childhood, the death of her father, the dreadful aftermath, her relationship with her mother, her difficult teen years. She's frank and funny about my father, Danny Keough. She talks openly about her relationship with Michael Jackson. She's painfully candid about her later drug addiction and about the perils of fame. There are times where it sounds like she wants to burn the world to the ground. Other times she displays compassion and empathy, all facets of the woman who was my mother. Each of those strands, beautiful and broken, forged together in early trauma, crashing together at the end of her life. The tapes are raw, with all the starts and stops that people have when they speak. Wherever possible, I wrote it exactly as she said it. In other cases, I've edited my mother's words for clarity, or to get at what I know was the root of what she was trying to convey. What mattered most to me was feeling like the end result sounded like her, that I could instantly recognize her in the pages. And I can. There are things she doesn't talk about in the tapes, things she didn't get to, especially in the later part of her life. We saw each other 5 times a week throughout my life, and we lived together full-time until I was 25. Where there are gaps in her story, I fill them in. The greatest strength for this aspect of the book was also one of my mother's biggest flaws. She was constitutionally incapable of hiding anything from me. I hope that in telling her story, my mother will resolve into a 3-dimensional character, into the woman we knew and loved so dearly. I've come to understand that her burning desire to tell her story was born of a need to both understand herself and be understood by others in full, for the first time in her life. I aim not only to honor my mother, but to tell a human story in what I know is an extraordinary circumstance. Everyone who ever met her experienced a force, passion, protection, loyalty, love, and a deep engagement with a spirit that was incredibly powerful. Whatever spiritual force my grandfather possessed undoubtedly ran through my mother's veins. When you were with her, you could feel it. I'm aware that the recordings my mother left are a gift. So often all that's left of a loved one is a saved and resaved voicemail, a short video on a phone, some favorite photos. I take the privilege of these tapes very seriously. I wanted this book to be as intimate as all those hours I spent listening to her, like the nights she'd spend in bed with us, listening to coyotes howl. In his poem, Binsey Poplars, Felled 1879, Gerard Manley Hopkins writes of that set of chopped down trees, "After comers cannot guess the beauty bin." I want this book to make clear the beauty bin that was my mother.